You will own nothing. And you will be happy.
Hours. Please ensure that your personal wallet is appropriately funded. Your scheduled Uber rideshare will arrive in 10 minutes.
Now arriving at your destination.
我们现在到达您的目的地。
Waging number 22177? New transfer?
Yes.
Good. Look up. So what do you think of your new work pod? Pretty nice, right?
Yeah. It's a bit cramped though.
Oof. That's bad speak. I'll let you sort that out. See you at the mandatory Shibuya roll call dance later today.
Yikes. You have violated your employment smart contract. Replaying offending speech.
It's a bit cramped though.
This statement is in direct contradiction with the verified Snopes fact that OpenOffice 2.0 work pods are comfortably spacious, combining the safety of closed cubicles with the communal spirit of OpenOffice environments. You have been deducted 20 Good Boy tokens from your weekly income. Warning! Projected weekly income is insufficient to meet your weekly rental payment. Please ensure that your wallet is appropriately funded within the next 68 hours.
Oh my god. I qualmed.
And yes, so that seems to be the future that they want, folks. That is the new digital slavery system they want to bring you into, leading you into the mainframe, as I've said. And of course, you could always have your own digital avatar to do cool things if you can't because you're stuck in your little pod. Leading you into the mainframe. That's what they're doing, folks. That's what this is all about. And in the spirit of that, they're also bringing in a digital ID in Australia now. You've got until the 27th to have your say on this. Not that your say will mean anything. They're going to do it anyway.
Your digital identity is a simple, safe, and secure way of proving who you are. It's convenient. You can use it on the go at any time of day. It's secure. So you don't need to remember passwords for services you rarely use. And you can be confident your information is private and protected. It can save you time. You don't have to wait to access the services you need. Set it up once, then reuse it again and again, whenever you need to prove who you are.
And the way they're planning this, folks, they're very clever. The way they've got this worked out, they're going to create a digital ID that you're going to need to basically do anything. And to demonstrate that, have a look at this water fountain. I mean, you know, you're going to have a scan in with a QR code to access a water fountain. I mean, soon you're going to have to scan in with QR codes to open supermarket cabinets, folks. You notice they're bringing in plastic cabinets in supermarkets all around Australia, or glass doors on the front of cabinets. And you're going to see QR codes appearing on the front of these cabinets. And you're not going to be able to scan into these cabinets if you don't have a digital ID. In order to get your digital ID, of course, you must register as being fully vaccinated. And if you're not fully vaccinated, you're going to get locked out of society completely. You're not going to be able to buy food. You're not going to be able to do anything. That's what they're doing, folks. That's the level they want to push it to. It's absolutely insidious. And it's coming to Queensland as well. They just announced the other day on the news, they say, oh, we're going to open the borders. It's soon going to open and everything's going to be great. But when the border opens, you're going to have to roll up your sleeves and prepare for the virus to enter.
After months of hard border restrictions, Anastasia Palaszczuk has finally announced a plan to welcome back fully vaccinated Aussies.
The Premier calling on unvaccinated Queenslanders to roll up their sleeves and be prepared for the virus to enter when the border opens.
Interesting statement there by the news, and Janet Young's backing that up by saying that when they open the borders, they're going to be bringing the virus into Queensland, and so everybody's just going to have to get jabbed, and of course she's got a deadline for it.
Well, it's a beautiful day in Rockhampton, a perfect day to come out and get vaccinated. So we've had no new cases in Queensland due to the tremendously well done work by Queenslanders. We have no active outbreaks. But the only way to stop active outbreaks going forward now is to get vaccinated. So every single Queenslander 12 years of age or older, please check in your local community where you can get vaccinated. There's many, many places, pharmacies, GPs, vaccination hubs. There are lots of places. And you've got, as the Premier said, 12 days to do it, because after that, we will be bringing in virus through the borders in vaccinated people, because we know that once you're vaccinated, you still can get infected and transmit it, but you're very unlikely to get unwell, very unlikely you're going to end up in hospital. So every single Queenslander is going to get exposed to the COVID-19 virus and will get infected. But if you're vaccinated, that's not a problem. So today, tomorrow, the next day, get vaccinated if you haven't already been, and get your second dose if it's 3 weeks since your first dose for Pfizer, 4 weeks for Moderna.
Bringing the virus into Queensland. And how's it saying there? We know that vaccinated people carry the virus. I mean, they're telling you what's going on here, folks. And they're pushing this deadline, really, really pushing their deadline. They're just saying you can't do anything unless you have it. You've got Denny Hunchback in Victoria openly saying people will be locked out of society if they don't have the jab.
Like, why would you get the system going? Why would you have the thing up and running and then essentially pull all the architecture that you built, all the infrastructure that you built, the culture that you've changed? Why would you change that 4 or 5 weeks later? We will not be doing that here. I'm not going to say to someone, oh, look, just wait us out, will you? Just wait 4 or 5 weeks and then you'll be able to go to the pub. No, if you make the judgment to not get vaccinated and you reckon you can wait out us or the publican or whoever you want to think you're waiting out, you won't wait out the virus, because the virus will be here for a long time and your only protection against it is being vaccinated. This will be well into 2022, well and truly into 2022. Then we're going to get into booster issue, so it won't be your first and second dose. It'll be have you had your third? And then the other issue will be, well, who knows what variant's coming? Who knows? Like, we don't. So we've got every reason to be confident. We've got every reason to be optimistic and upbeat. This is, the Victorians have done an amazing job, but that job includes us making some difficult decisions, and that's to keep people who are not vaccinated out of some of those venues that we've been talking about today.
You've got that slimy little turd Gumby that I played you from the Northern Territory on the last show that I did, who's saying that only people with a valid medical excuse will be exempt from having the jab.
You must be vaccinated. Of course, there can be exemptions, but these are extremely narrow and must be backed up with medical evidence. Simply not wanting the vaccine is not a reason.
Valid medical excuse. Well, here's one for you.
The FDA had a meeting yesterday. One of their advisory boards had a meeting yesterday. That advisory board is called Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee. And they had a meeting about the Pfizer vaccine and other vaccines yesterday. And at the 4 hour and 20 minute mark, this little bomb was dropped. Let me read it so I have it verbatim. In the FDA virtual meeting yesterday, the FDA advisory committee stated, "We were falsely misled by Pfizer about the safety of the vaccine. Heart attacks are 71 times higher than any other vaccine. The vaccines are killing 2 people for every 1 life saved." Wait, you mean it's not FDA approved? You mean it's killing more people than it's helping? You mean this dangerous experimental vaccine that we have been telling you for months is a bad fucking idea? Is actually a bad fucking idea per the FDA? Huh. No shit.
And here's another one. This is a woman with SIRS. Her body is a barometer for poisons. What does she have to say about it?
Hey TikTok, my name is Anne, and you don't know me, but this is a video about my medical experiences with the pointy thing that people are getting nowadays. I haven't taken it, but I'm going to tell you something about it that I know medically. This isn't misinformation, this is my own personal experience, and my doctors agree with this experience. So, I have a disorder called CIRS, C-I-R-S, if you choose to Google it, chronic inflammatory response syndrome, inflammation in response to toxins. My body, my immune system, makes inflammation and overreacts in response to toxins. I'm a walking toxicity meter. I walk into buildings, I walk by anything poisonous, and I can tell you that it's poisonous because within seconds I get sick. My body produces inflammation. Just like someone with a peanut allergy can get sick from 10 feet away, if there's something poisonous, I can sense it from 10 feet away. Mold is primarily what I react to, because little did you know, or most people don't know, mold is highly poisonous. It's not just allergens, it's not just spores. It releases poisonous gases to defend itself. So poisonous, there are 8 of the 10 deadliest biochemical weapons in the world are mold toxins. It's not harmless, it's not some innocent fuzzy stuff, but I digress. I also react to toxic bacteria, I react to heavy metal toxins, and more. Well, there's a new toxin I'm reacting to, and it's vaccinated people. It's not a conspiracy theory. Every time I'm around vaccinated people, I get sick. I can't go into public anymore without getting sick. I have to survive. But I get sick. I get a cough. I get brain fog. I get headaches. I get trouble thinking, trouble with my memory. My body starts to ache, and my skin burns. Every inch of my skin starts burning like it's on fire. And after a few hours, I get so sick, just by being out in the public. Out in fresh air, out at a park around other people where I didn't used to get sick, I get sick now. Grocery stores, that even if they don't have mold, I didn't used to get sick there, I get sick now. And it's growing and growing and growing this last year, the more people get vaccinated. And I don't get sick around unvaccinated people. When I'm around friends who have not been vaccinated, I don't get sick. But if I'm with friends who have been vaccinated, I get sick. There's a lot of studies that the news isn't telling you about the spike proteins. They messed up. The spike proteins that the COVID vaccine makes and tells your DNA to make, they're poisonous. So what do you think happens when they tell someone's DNA to manufacture these spike proteins that are poisonous? They build up and build up and build up. I can smell them on people's breath. And it makes me sick. I react quickly to poison, but what do you think is going to happen in a few years to everyone else?
And here's another one. This is a 13-year-old kid who died within seconds of having the second jab.
Thank you.
they all seem like pretty valid medical excuses to me, folks. They seem like pretty valid reasons for medical exemption. But what they're going to do is they're going to open the borders to Queensland. They're going to let all the foreigners in, all the foreign state people, you know. And they're going to say, well, now they've brought the virus to Queensland. So you can expect to have Victoria and New South Wales style lockdowns happen in Queensland soon if the people are willing to go along with it. The whole thing is based on our compliance, folks, and it's going to be whether the people are willing to go along with it. You know, and why would anyone have this jab? They're saying in England now, in the UK, they're saying vaccinated people must isolate over winter or risk serious illness. Gee, that's strange, isn't it, folks? Why would they be risking serious illness after they just had a normal vaccine for a deadly virus that now they're cured from, apparently, and they're protected from, apparently? Isn't that what a vaccine's for? But no, they got to isolate. They got to stay indoors, and they've got to quarantine themselves over winter or risk serious illness. Can you see what they're doing to the human immune system, folks? And that's probably a reason for the deadline as well. There's actually an article that came out on a site called The Exposé, and it's going through data which is showing that people's immune systems are apparently becoming weaker a lot quicker than anticipated. It says on the site, acquired autoimmune deficiency syndrome, AIDS, is occurring in people faster than anticipated, and that the immune systems are deteriorating at a rate of about 5% per week. And this means that 30 to 59 year olds will have zero immune defense by Christmas, and all the double jabbed people will have completely lost any defense to COVID by January, whatever it is they're calling COVID anyway. So that could be a reason for the deadline, because if people start dropping off around Christmas and start dropping off around January, and people get really, really bad colds, like the worst cold I've ever seen, which they're saying is now happening in the UK, worst colds they've ever seen. Never had a flu season this bad. Gee, I wonder why, folks. That's what they're saying in the UK now. But when that starts happening, a lot of people are going to put two and two together and go, oh, it's the vaccine, and they're not going to have it. And so they're really trying to get this deadline pushed so that people, sorry, itchy nose, folks, get this deadline pushed so people will have the jab before the death toll starts rising. They're very insidious, folks, very insidious. But that's what it would appear the push and the deadlines are about. And the situation in Australia is just deteriorating and deteriorating. As you can see, too, I'm not in the motel anymore, folks, and I'll let you know where I am in due course. I will tell you before the end of this broadcast. But the situation is deteriorating and deteriorating in Queensland. There was a lawsuit that was happening against Brad Hazzard and the New South Wales Health Department. That's gone to the Supreme Court. A lot of people were tuning in and watching that. I watched the first couple of hearings of it as well. The government won that case, folks. It was all overturned, and it was ruled that it's quite lawful for them to do these lockdowns and all this bullshit, all this unlawful, unconstitutional, treasonous bullshit that they're doing. It's been ruled as lawful by the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court in Australia is lost. It's a lost cause. I mean, I hope that there was perhaps an honest judge in there. It was a tall order anyway, but it was a hope that I was maintaining, you know. But hey, you know, you've got to exhaust all avenues, don't you? And there's also been, apparently, according to the news, 40 cops in Queensland, either Queensland or Victoria, there's 40 cops that have been stood down in one state for refusing to comply with the jab. Apparently there's 1,200 police in Queensland that are pushing legal challenges against the jab. And in many ways, it's disappointing to see these cops allowing themselves to be stood down. This is the thing. I mean, the cops haven't been on our side for the whole time. They've only kind of started to stand up to this now that the jab is coming to them. And even in doing that, they're allowing themselves to be stood down when they're police officers. I mean, they're police officers. You're sworn in as police officers. You've got to understand that this is all unlawful. I mean, if you can't see the writing on the wall now, I mean, this is all unlawful. And when they attempt to stand you down for refusing the jab, you know, you are within the law to turn around and arrest your commanding officer. You are fully within the law to go and arrest the health officers of all of our states. You're fully within the law to take action. You know, if you were to choose to turn and face your commanding officer and arrest him for giving an unlawful command to stand you down in the name of a fake pandemic, the law is with you. And by your refusal to do that and allowing yourself to be stood down, you're basically seeing to it that the rule of law is over in Australia. It's deteriorating. It doesn't exist anymore. There's been a lot of people writing to me about a project, a website called The Sovereign Project, I think. It looks interesting. It does. And common law stuff. The guy probably is a great guy. It sounds all very interesting. And, you know, we know all this common law stuff and this maritime law stuff, and we've looked at it for years and had people implemented that stuff 5 or 10 years ago. I think it would work. But the problem is now, like especially in countries like Australia, is you start attempting to use this stuff, even mention the word sovereign, the police just beat the shit out of you and throw you into the nut house for 3 months for a psychic evaluation because, oh, you must be mental if you think the government doesn't have any control over you. That's just what they do. You know, they don't care about the law. They don't care about common law. If you mention common law or sovereignty or your rights to a police officer in Australia, they get 10 times as angry. They bring in 6 of their mates and they kick the living shit out of you. That's what's happening in the country. You know, I'm going to look at it. I'm going to talk to it. I might even have the guy on and have a chat with him. I don't know. But I don't think people realise just how far this has gone, folks. I really don't think people realise how far it's gone. You know, they spent years and years militarizing our police. And it was in order to do this. They spent years doing this just so they could unleash their plan and take over the world and turn the world into this big control state that they're turning it into and modify the human race. And I reckon they've done it before. I've said before, folks, that I think they've done this before. More image of these black-eyed babies are coming out as well. Strange stuff, folks, really strange stuff. And I'm just going to get off topic for a little bit here and throw it out there, but looking at these black-eyed babies, you know the alien greys? The alien greys with the big black eyes and the grey skin and all that, is that what happens when you inject a human being with graphene and do it over a couple of generations or whatever? Is that what they become? I've got to wonder. You know, are we living in an enclosed environment and that we're being farmed and we're being grown so that we can be transformed into these things? There's been talk that the alien greys are actually us from the future that have come back, on all sorts of stuff people talk about, you know. But is that us? Is that what they're doing to us? You've got to wonder. When you look at these black-eyed babies, I don't know, you just have to wonder. Not saying it's true, just thought I'd put that out there. But yeah, it's just getting crazy, folks. It's getting crazy. And they militarized the police so they could at last inflict their will upon us. And they love it. They absolutely love it. Look at Dan Andrews and building quarantine camps in Melbourne. And people are saying, well, what do we need the quarantine camp for if it's just this, you know, slight, this pandemic, this virus or whatever that's going to go away? Why do we need this big quarantine facility? And he's giving all these excuses. And you can see, like, he can't stop himself from grinning at the thought of having his own concentration camp.
Going to be a white elephant before it's
over. No, I saw a bit of commentary about this. You know, and I'm not here today to, you know, reflect on, you know, some of the commentary yesterday, or to reflect on my good friends in the federal government. Today's a very positive day. Today's a positive day. And it's not about them. It's about what Victorians have done. But I would just say this. We didn't have Mickleham at the beginning of this pandemic. We will have Mickleham at the beginning of the next one, whenever that might be. We will have Mickleham when next there is a massive bushfire event and we need somewhere to put hundreds and hundreds of people who've lost their homes. We will have Mickleham for all sorts of reasons. And we'll have Mickleham in just a few months for people who come back here and are not vaccinated. Or when another variant pops up, we will have Mickleham. So I think it is a very good investment, and I just would just make the point, we're going to run it, but the Commonwealth are building it. The Victorian taxpayers are not building it. It's the Commonwealth that are building it and paying for it, and it's on their land.
This little moron is such a scumbag. He is such a psychopath, such a smarmy little toad. I mean, I can't say enough bad things about Danny Hunchback, the biggest traitor Australia has ever known, a man who should be led up the gallows and off with his head. That is what needs to happen with Daniel Andrews. And indeed, that's what needs to happen with every politician in Australia at the moment, folks. Everybody in the main two parties who is supporting this fraud, every chief health officer, the head of every police force in every state, These people all need to be led up the gallows, folks. They all need to be tried. They all need to be hung a dozen at a time the way they did at Nuremberg. That's the way it needs to be done. But it isn't just Australia.
Sentite, la signora che dovrà venire a fare degli esami non ha il Green Pass ed ora è costretta ad attendere qui fuori. Questa è una